This is the first in a series of podcasts from Tech Research Asia, Cisco, and Datacom.
Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us today. My name is Trevor Clark. I'm a director at Tech Research Asia. Today, we are going to talk around customer experience and app modernization, why it's so important for everyone to improve what we're doing on today and as we go forward into the future. Joining me in this session is Sunny Katira from Datacom, Rodney Hamill from Cisco, and Mark Isles from Tech Research Asia. So, gentlemen, thanks very much for joining me.
Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure.
All right, Sunny, I'm going to start with you first of all, and I'm going to ask the main question. What do users want? What do you think users will want with their app experiences and in the next couple of years?
Look, I think from the way we're seeing the market kind of trend, from what we're hearing from our customers, what I think users want from the application side is applications that are evergreen. They don't want us to be creating legacy for the future. They want us to have apps that don't need as much caretaking, that don't need as much redoing, replatforming. They want applications that are evergreen, stay that way, and are constantly modern. And now more so than ever before, we've actually got tools to be able to do that. There's a lot of AI being injected into the app ecosystem as well, mostly from a monitoring perspective. I believe as technology moves forward, that's going to play quite a proactive role in keeping the apps evergreen, preempting what it is that those apps need to do from a performance perspective, from a business functionality perspective, and feeding that back into the engineering teams so that the evergreen status can be achieved.
That's an interesting point. That whole idea of continuous integration, continuous updates is probably a big thing for a lot of people. Ronnie, how do you think organizations, what the types of steps that they need to be taken to enable that evergreen approach that Sunny was talking about?
Yeah, I think Sunny raised a few good points there, Trevor, particularly around if I have a look at what the end user is actually wanting, it's wanting everything now. Like patience is pretty much a non-existent thing when it comes to end users at the moment, and they want the new features and new functions all very quickly. And I think from an IT perspective, or people delivering the technology to the end users, that poses a fair few challenges as to how do I get it out at pace and scale. So now agility in the IT department, we've all talked about it now for many years, but that's pretty much needs to be a given. But we're seeing a lot of focus now on visibility. So because the users, not only do they have a lack of patience, they want the stuff to work straight away. And they call IT and they want it resolved straight away. So it's like, now how do IT get visibility into all the different microservices which are typically running these applications that in many cases become distributed across multiple locations, multiple clouds, multiple data centers? So I think that IT, they really need to get their underlying infrastructure in order, whether it be public cloud, private cloud, edge computing, whatever it happens to be, make sure they've got clear visibility into what's actually happening across the end user landscape. And I think that's the big thing that we're seeing enterprise IT really delve into at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. A lot of the time, making sure that underlying infrastructure is actually optimized first before we can do all these great things that we talk about, customer experience. Mark, what about from the market perspective itself? What do you see? How do you see people approaching this at the moment? Is there any kind of differences between smaller organizations and larger organizations?
Yeah, we certainly see a little bit of a mix. And obviously in enterprise, you've typically got, most large enterprises have got at least 1,000 applications. In fact, as you know, we do a lot of research asking large organizations how many apps they've got. And normally we find at least half of them actually don't even know what they've got. So in a lot of cases, you don't even know what you're dealing with for a lot of these enterprises. And they're starting to pick off some of the early high profile apps to start looking at this kind of, as you mentioned, the CI/CD type approach, mixed of course with SaaS. So you've got this kind of classic buy build approach, which is some applications are very specific to their business and have high value. And typically that's where a lot of the value is, which is the workflows that are directly related to key components of what the business does. And there are applications where they want to keep that intellectual property, and that's something that needs migrating, needs replatforming. You start thinking about security. But then there are some applications that are just much easier to move across to SaaS. And certainly as you move down into mid-market and into SMB, we see much higher levels of SaaS adoption. And that in itself lends itself to some challenges because you've got multiple SaaS platforms. Of course, all those applications are running in different environments. So how do you provide any kind of consistency of user experience? And that's quite challenging, especially with, obviously, with what's been happening with COVID and people working from home. You've got very different environments for all of your employees and very different applications. So how do you get any type of seamless kind of security and performance monitoring, as Rodney pointed out, across those environments? It's quite challenging for a lot of IT organizations.
I tend to agree that right at the moment, we sort of see a bifurcation, if you like, that the larger organizations are definitely going for what is our core and what do we need from an application standpoint that actually drives differentiation in our organization. And that's where you see a lot of the focus on development itself. Anything else is kind of pushed out to, we can SaaS that or we can outsource that to someone else at the moment. Sonny, what do you think about that approach? Do you see that happening as well with the customers that you work with?
Yeah, look, I think Mark's made a pretty good point, which is when you have 1,000 plus apps, which is pretty common for large enterprises, having that consistent experience across all those apps, not only from an environmental perspective, which is pretty difficult, almost impossible to achieve, but it's the CX that can tie it all together, and that's something that is actually emerging as one of the sort of key asks from the customer's ecosystem as well. Not CX for the sake of doing CX. It's CX that is intrinsically built into the thinking process when you're imagining outcomes for the customer. And again, that creates this loop where if you're focused on the customer experience, then the rest of it follows, and the technology becomes quite secondary. But applying that CX layer and vision across everything you do from an app ecosystem perspective means that you fundamentally drive a consistent approach, at least from an experience perspective, and the underlying technology then becomes very, very secondary.
Yeah, and just piggybacking on that, Sonny, as well, one of the dynamics that happens is everybody has an expectation, because they're all using mobile devices, that all apps are beautiful. And we've had this kind of, professional applications you download from iOS or from Android stores are somehow, beautiful based apps, and the corporate apps have been rather clunky, and those worlds have somewhat collided. So like I say, the expectation on customer experience from employees is, well, it should be the same as all the other apps that I download from Facebook and Instagram and the others. So we've got this kind of, the bar is really lifted, I think, for enterprises in terms of how they need to look at customer experience in their application.
I think a lot of organizations have now also actually embraced that idea of customer centricity and starting with that customer first, actually trying to understand it rather than let's be engineers and design things from a functionality perspective. And, we'll try and do releases as fast as we can just based on stuff that we think they may want, to actually talking and asking and observing what the customers are actually doing. Rodney, I just want to ask from your perspective, one of the other parts about this is there's always a question around single pane of glass management, particularly in larger enterprises. Can you actually get there? Like, is that something? I mean, I hear mixed with the customers that we work with. We hear mixed results. Some of them want it and some of them don't. Some of them don't think it's actually even possible. What's your take on that idea for?
I just got a Christmas theme. Someone was saying that they want a unicorn for Christmas. And it's almost like the single pane of glass, isn't it? I think everybody wants it. I think we've seen people take really good steps towards single pane of glass for different elements of their infrastructure. And obviously from a Cisco's perspective, and that's our grand vision. If we can get all of this to a single pane of glass and drill all the way through, bring in things like AI ops to really help automate things that need to be remediated or changed in a network, that makes that single pane of glass a lot smaller as we start to automate and orchestrate the underlying apps and infrastructure. We've seen some customers go down it from a business process. So to look at, we've got some of the big banks in Australia, for example, using AppDynamics as a single dashboard for application performance, also tied into how the business transactions are occurring in there. So that is nicely bundled up and fulfilling that part of it. But what it's not doing yet is actually looking at how the particular host for that VM is performing, and if it's leaking memory or if it needs more CPU or if it's going to be a performance bottleneck. So we're trying to tie all that stuff in and orchestrate and automate a lot of those changes underneath as they're required. But we're getting there, and we're getting there slowly. And we talked about CX as an example. Sunny touched on, so we've built a CX cloud platform that tries to bring in as much information as we can from different parts of the network and application stack. And we're not just giving unmeaningful data. It's all about, I think now, what do I need to know? I don't need to know if something's green. If that server's running fine, there's no point occupying space on a single dashboard to tell me, hey, thumbs up, this is humming along. I need to know what's going to be coming my way in the next 1, 2, 3 days. Where are my amber lights? Where am I starting to see things creep in? So we're seeing a bit of a pivot towards, hey, on your dashboard, you need to know, you've got 30 access points at this site that are running old firmware. We know that old firmware might cause issues with someone trying to access this new single sign-on function in Salesforce. So we can start to then triangulate and say, hey, my customer experience really needs to be addressed. So it's how do we bring the relevant data into a dashboard? But they're getting there slowly, Trevor. Some of them are really well and others are still trying to figure it out. And I think that single dashboards, now this stuff's not easy. IT is complicated, and trying to distill it into a single dashboard is a big ask.
Yeah, it's definitely a unicorn in many ways for a lot of people, but I think it's some good points there. I really like the concept that we're seeing a lot recently too is that customer experience is not just reactive to what people have been doing. It's starting to get more around predictive in terms of trying to understand, well, where are my problems going to be? Where do I need to start troubleshooting now so that customer experience continues to happen? And some of that may be just understanding network bandwidth in terms of, we're going to have a big event, so therefore we're going to see this X demand come on board rather than just let's monitor it, and if something happens, then we'll change and do something after the fact.
And there's really simple things, Trevor, as well. Like everyone goes and gets themselves a new iPhone 12 when it comes out, the brand new iOS on it. That's probably going to tweak a few things around. How do we know our applications and our infrastructure is ready to operate exactly how that phone's expecting? And then the customer gets confused between the application not working and the phone not working. So, just having a line of sight to what's coming, I think, is pretty critical.
It certainly is. Gentlemen, I'm gonna give you one last question, Ed, and it's a pretty simple thing in as few words as you can, because I know we can all talk quite a lot, what do you think from an app modernization and a customer experience perspective, what's the key thing that you would be saying to clients today that they need to do? Mark, let's start with you.
Well, it's an interesting question. So where do you start? I mean, for a lot of organizations, what's missing is actually how they go about this. So for a lot of organizations, moving to continuous integration, moving to continuous development is a complete shift. For most organizations. So I think getting the organization to understand how they operate is more important than actually any individual application, because it's a change to the way that you approach how you're delivering applications to your organization. So I would say it's that, it's the agility side of it and actually how you think about it. So it's more about process and methodology than it is about any specific application. So focusing on your teams and actually the skills that you have within your teams and how you approach it is more important than any individual piece that you're doing. So it's really a process change.
Thank you. Rodney, what about you?
Yeah, I would say getting visibility into both the application stack and the infrastructure stack. And I mean, I have a bit of a bias towards the cloud infrastructure stack because I think Mark touched on it before. We're now seeing a lot of people work from home, and all of a sudden you've probably got 50 or 60 new network providers who are now in the critical path to your application performance. So how do you get visibility down all the way through to a $50 router or modem sitting in the cupboard, which is now in the key flow of your application? So making sure you have visibility of what's actually happening now, I think, is more important than ever, as we see a lot of people work from home, and that continues to be the case. So getting a clean line of sight to what's actually happening in the network and application stack, I would say, is key.
Thank you. And Sunny, what about yourself?
Look, for me, there's two important considerations. One, application modernization is not about just applications, and I'd agree with Rodney there completely. It's the broader ecosystem that the applications interact with. So the underlying infrastructure, the cloud, the networks, all of that sort of stuff. And you have to take a holistic view of it to actually modernize and keep your apps modern. And the second one is, again, it's not about just the applications, it's about the value that you want to derive from that ecosystem of apps and keeping that at the forefront of everything and then embarking on that modernization journey, I think. And again, looping back into CX and how that plays with what those applications do and your customers and your users, that is probably the most important thing when you're trying to modernize apps and keep them modern.
Brilliant. All right, thanks very much, gentlemen. I do appreciate it. My only final comment is from an app modernization and customer experience perspective is to look outside your own industries. Don't just look at the apps, which you always do in your own industry, but try and learn from others. I think there's often we get a little bit narrow in terms of our focus on what we think we're benchmarking ourselves against, but there's certainly ways to look at other industries as well and to learn more from around the world, because there's plenty of great experiences that people are having at the moment. And that's all we have time for. Thanks very much for listening. And thanks very much to Cisco and Datacom for joining me today. This was Trevor Clark from Tech Research Asia. See you next time.